Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net. Bachelor Nation on Love Island will not be heard at this time because there are no bachelors on Love Island and there is no love in Bachelor Nation. In its place, we present the following.
Are there zombies? This is Gordon Pepper and I want... Yes.
Rain. Yes.
This is Gordon Pepper, and the one thing that is definitely zombied is 2025.
Thank God for that.
Okay, look. I've known you guys for almost a quarter century now, right?
Right.
Why do you keep making me wear the baby New Year costume?
Because you're the only one who will fit in it. And nobody has heard you turn down the baby New Year costume.
True. But as we are in 2026, we are going to review, as we do every year, the best and worst of 2025 in game and reality shows. And there has been a lot of it, both good and bad. So, Chico, in your tuxedo t-shirt, let's do this.
From somewhere in America, the 2025 best and worst of everything special of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast is on! Let's go!
Whee!
It is 2026, y'all, and this is episode 519 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5and1. This is We Love to Interrupt, WLTI. Of course, I could not do this show, and of course, they couldn't do the show without me, but I could not definitely do the show without my good friends and brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to both of you. Happy New Year to you. And may 2026 not suck.
Yes. Let's go back to 2025 and let's get right into it with our first category of the best and worst of ever, Chico, and that is best and worst game show moment.
All right. So I had as my best and worst game show moment, my best game
show.
Let's
do the best first.
All right. Best game show moment of 2025. Christina Derevanchik's $1 million win on Wheel of Fortune. I mean, it's just a masterclass in how to play the game, and it's also a masterclass in how to deliver that news.
I had that one as well. It was easy. And what I also liked about it is that it did not get spoiled until pretty much the day of in certain circles that we follow. And it was great, and it was a good puzzle, and she deserved it. Absolutely.
My favorite game show moment was not that. My favorite game show moment is really showing the game and how clever strategy from game show contestants really put the heart of a game in line, especially when you are told to bring anything that you can.
Oh, and you very good.
There you go.
That's great. You're absolutely right. That's a great one, too. That is, and Gordon, explain that one, please.
I'm blanking on the name of the human, but There was a car. Wayne Brady was going to offer the car if you can measure from front bumper to back bumper within 4 inches. And our contestant asked, is it okay if I use the measuring tape that I brought? After a very quick conversation, the answer is, of course you can. And it was exactly what a game show is there to do. It is a pure classic game show moment. It was absolutely amazing. And good God, I need more of that in my life.
Awesome.
That was great. And his name was, he was a trumpeter. I'm looking it up in the video right now. His name is David. Okay. David, the construction worker who brought the measuring tape because he was a construction worker. That's an absolute excellent choice. And I completely blanked on that. And that's why we have you here.
Yeah.
Excellent choice.
Okay. A little bit of behind the veil here. We have 4 ballots. Myself, Jason, the voice of Brain Vision News, Doug Morris, he submitted one. And then all 3 of us, well, we pretty much have ours set in stone. Gordon forgot to submit his, but he has it mentally committed. And what he's going to do is surprise us with things that we haven't even thought of.
Right.
Well, my role is to give you stuff that you guys haven't thought of.
Right. So I'm assuming Doug said the same thing?
Yes. And now we go to the worst game show moment. And that would be, well, I have Doug's here, Kimberly being the first to lose it all on The Price is Right, The Lion's Share, and end up with Bupkis.
That's kind of bad.
That is kind of bad. I have the same thing.
I don't. The worst game show moment of 2025 have to do with an actually winning $1 million session on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. The whole Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel BS, making it all about themselves and not the game. They were more concerned about the feud than the actual money, and Ken Jennings was just standing there just trying to make it fun, okay?
Ken Jennings was just there to play a game.
And by the way, he did have fun, but it was absolutely awful for me.
Okay, Gordon?
My worst game show moment is not something that happened on a game show, but happened behind the scenes. And it really signifies the end of an era, the passing of Wink Martindale.
Okay.
That's another great choice because we talked about this, the generational shift, right?
Yes.
Because we only
sure did. We talked about this.
And I was just thinking about this. Bob Eubanks is in that 80s era, too. He's up there. Remember, he's up there. Him and Pat Sajak and Jim McCrell are like the last 3 major game show hosts of that era left.
Yeah.
But the impact of Wink Martindale currently, like, you had the vault. You have him still creating things in his 90s in terms of wanting to create, produce, and do things and have things in his name. He was someone that, I mean, yeah, Pat Sajak's now retired. You really don't see him on social media much, even though he is a social media human. But Wink Martindale arguably is the first and only person in that genre that got it.
And also, if you remember, he lent his name to a video channel for Lost Game Show Ephemera, I believe is the correct term for it.
Yes. And
he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's currently being run by his team, John Ritchie Jr., and others, under the name The Game Show Vault.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, so yes, that is an actually another great choice. Okay, moving on to the next category.
The next category is the best and worst reality show moment. Okay, I have... I'm going to go last. We're going to go with Doug's picks first, and his best is Robert Irwin winning Dancing with the Stars. I saw the clip from the finale. Robert Irwin absolutely went so emotional. You could see he was trying his best to not just be the guy that took his shirt off of votes. No, he knew when he won, he knew it was not about him. It was not just about him.
Oh, no. He did not only take off his shirt. He showed his snake to get votes. You know this. It wasn't a worm. It was a snake, and it was an anaconda. For me, and by the way, that's a very good choice. For me, the best reality show moment actually happened on the finale of Amazing Race, with Jag and Taylor making history as being both Big Brother and, you know, double winners, first and second. And also with that, having Jag and his brother Jazz meet a fellow Sikh in the cab and speaking their own language was just a beautiful, you can't script this sort of moment.
You really can't. Gordon, your thoughts?
You've had fun things in the Amazing Race that has happened where it's just like, well, it just so happens that I know this and therefore that. That was fun. We're going to do something again from a pressing the cultural limit standpoint. Project Runway, season 21, VJ is the first MTF contestant to win Project Runway outright.
Yes. Beating Utica Queen, a Drag Race alum as well. So, yes, it was a very, 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 very progressive finale. Very good. Another good choice.
Yes. Anyway, I saved mine for last because there is a reason behind this, because this wasn't a case of me being lazy, but I had as the best reality show moment the casting of Dancing with the Stars this season. And
why?
I'm glad you said that. Because it brought in eyeballs. It smashed voting records. It smashed viewership records. It was just really good for the franchise. This was a franchise-defining year. That being said, for the worst reality show moment, the casting of Dancing with the Stars this season. And Jason Block is dead.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking funny. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, because it did attract eyeballs. It did elevate Dancing with the Stars to new heights. But there were people where you look at them and wonder, what the hell is they doing there?
They're what?
What the hell is that? Hilaria Baldwin, I'm looking at you.
Well,
Chico, I don't think the problem is Dancing with the Stars. I think the problem is you. When are you going to tell the damn kids to get off your lawn?
Yeah, exactly. We're all getting up there. What did Doug
I told you it was Dancing with Robert Irwin winning.
No, the worst moment,
was,
not the
oh,
best.
The I was like, well, okay. Doug's pick for the worst, that would be Nick and Alandria drama on Love Island USA.
Oh yeah, that's good too. That's good too. Gordon, I actually had a tie in my worst reality show moments, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. I voted for one, and then I remembered a second. The one that I actually voted for first was the Donkadonk Levers twist on RuPaul's Drag Race this year, okay? Remember
if you didn't pick that one, that was the one I was going with. That was awful. And not only was it awful, it almost ended after the first round, because in the first round, the eliminated drag queen found the correct lever and was not eliminated.
Yeah, it was like in the first or second episode, yeah.
The only thing you could say was, oh great, now what are we going to do?
Right.
At least it wasn't fixed.
You mean like the other part of my thing, which is the very, very suspicious elimination of Rachel Riley on Big Brother this year.
Yeah, that was the other one I was going to go with.
Okay, because that, to me, felt like the show didn't want Rachel Riley to win, so they made it in such a way to do it, and they did it off screen, not on a live thing. They did it, and they edited it out, and a lot of people rightfully were upset, including myself. I still think the producers, this was the major mistake in a very good Big Brother season, but man,
it's almost like the producers said, even though they didn't say it, maybe it was in tone that if you play this correctly, you can get rid of somebody that you all want to get rid of. Hint.
Exactly. Yes. By the way, we are not alleging. We are just alleging things. But
we're not even alleging anything. I'm just saying that if the contestants were smart enough to figure it out, they could figure it out.
Which they were. And let's just say it was really sus. So
quite sus.
There's that. Okay. Next
up, it is the best and worst game show player. Okay, I had, bring it back to Wheel of Fortune, I had Christina Derevancic.
So did I.
Christina Derevancic. Doug had Scott Riccardi on Jeopardy.
From Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Gordon, and you do you want to add David as the best game show player of the year or no?
Do I want to add who?
No,
absolutely not. Wheel of Fortune $1 million champion. She gets enough for the player of the year. It was not an easy puzzle. She got the win there. I just thought David had a better game show moment. But from a contestant standpoint, she did what she needed to do. She got the correct she got the correct combination of skill, luck. Obviously, you need some. And brilliance. So, no, I'll go with her player.
Yeah, Pack of Coyotes, baby. That's it. Pack of Coyotes made her a millionaire. So.
Also made her a part of
Chico, you mentioned it's a sweep, right?
Sweep? No, it's not a sweep. Doug had Scott Riccardi from Jeopardy.
Okay. Now the worst.
Now the worst.
To me, it was very simple. It was Matt Damon. Matt Damon made it all about himself and Kimmel. Even though they won $1 million, it was the most painful 40 minutes to watch of the year for me.
I agree with you, Matt Damon. What is the cardinal rule about celebrity game shows that you do not want to be on the bad end of? You don't make the show about yourself. Matt
and
Damon
they did.
Made the show about himself. And I cannot forgive him for that.
And Kimmel.
Gordon.
We may be sweeping this one. It is Matt Damon. You know darn well that I don't like going after civilians. So if I can go after a celebrity, I will. And in this case, I did.
Okay. Doug did go after a civilian, a pair of civilians. Ronnie and Chris from The Quiz with Balls.
Okay, why?
I do not know why. The Watts family, they appeared on The Quiz with Balls. And I couldn't tell you what happened with those two, and Doug did not tell us what happened with those two, so there you go.
Okay. Anyway, now we go to
the best and worst reality show player. My best. Jazz and Jag Baines. My best. Jazz and Jag Baines from The Amazing Race for their history-making run on The Amazing Race.
Taylor as well for making history, but specifically Jag and Jazz. Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to sweep on this one. Two-time champion.
Yep. Doug has Robert Irwin from Dancing with the Stars. Which is,
of course,
again, good choice. Again, good choice.
Okay, turning it around. Perfect. The worst reality show player.
What does Doug have?
Doug has Nicole from Survivor 49.
Nicole? Interesting. I have a different player from Survivor 49, and that's Sage. She was an absolute bully and mean girl and got away with it. She got away with it. I don't care if she got a vote. She was an absolute awful human being and really didn't get her comeuppance for it. Really upset me.
Okay, mine was Hilaria Baldwin, born Hillary Lynn Hayward Thomas. Because, okay, on Dancing with the Stars, okay.
Okay.
Not so much for what she did on the dance floor, but what she did after. Most people on Dancing with the Stars would take the L and go live their best life. Hilaria Baldwin could not take the L. You know what I mean?
Okay. Gotcha.
Sometimes you just need to take the L. I mean, come on.
Gordon?
Okay, so I'm not going to pick a person from Survivor. I'm going to pick a whole tribe. The Uli tribe was Uli.
Oh, that not Uli. They were ugly.
They were oogly.
Yeah, they were icky and ooky and Uli and all that stuff.
They were.
That's a good choice too. Yep.
That's a very good choice.
Okay. Next one.
Next one.
Sixth man for best non-host castmate. Now this one, I haven't given this particular team love for a long time. I don't think I've ever done it, and I think they should. It's the Drag Race judging panel. Okay? Without them, and I'm not talking about RuPaul, I'm talking about Marcel Visage, Carson Kressley, Ross Meth, make it really, really, really fun to watch. Are their criticisms all accurate? But they're funny, and they're entertaining, so I'm going to give it to them.
All right, I gave it to the entire crew at Let's Make a Deal. Tiffany Coyne, Jonathan Mangum, Kat Gray, even our good friend Chris Ahern, the Money Fairy.
Usually I would go in that direction as well, but I do that every single year, and I'm going to go somewhere different. And I am going to go with a judge, and it's going to be a judge from a talent show competition. But this judge is L.A. Roach.
Law Roach.
Yes.
Who's also been on Drag Race many times, too.
He's a fantastic judge on Drag Race, and he's a fantastic judge on Project Runway. And he was one of the reasons why this season was popping in terms of that show. I really hope they keep him. He's a lot of fun and really injected some needed intestinal fortitude into that show.
And what did our good friend Doug have?
Doug has Alexis Gobb from The Price is Right.
Not see just, where he was going with there, but that's the Rachel Reynolds Modeling Award. She's been on there, what, 20 years now?
Yes, she's been. Rachel Reynolds is just one of the first ladies of game shows, and Alexis Gobb is going to be one of the second ladies of game shows because Alexis Gobb is basically doing the job that she was doing. That Rachel Reynolds was doing 20 years ago today. So there's that. And now here's Keesla. Hi, Keesla.
Hi, Chico.
Okay. Hey. So next. Hey, hello. Hello.
Okay. Hi.
All right. Now we go to.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
I have seen
the Jet 2 holiday all over the place in the year in review, by the way.
Yes,
just saying.
That is the Jet 2 non-sponsored semi-memorial international format award. Okay.
Yeah, what do you got first?
I've got the I actually have the Traitors. Yeah, everyone's a critic. You know what? It's a show that started gaining steam over the last couple of years, and at the Emmys, it cleaned up. So I gotta give it its props.
No, I'm talking. Okay, if you're gonna go international, I'm gonna go with something that's not here yet, and that's Limitless Win.
I get that. Okay. All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say Doug's. I'm going to say Doug's pick. And I'm going to watch for Gordon's reaction. Doug's pick was Countdown.
I like Countdown. I'm not going to blab that one.
Oh, now you're...
Countdown, excuse me. Countdown has now gotten back because there's this new kid on the Instagram. I don't know if you've seen it, Chico. This kid who's 4 who can do the numbers game better than some adults.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I'll send you the link. It's great.
Cool. All right. Gordon?
Gordon, what do you
think? I'm going to go with a main stage favorite, which is now entering the 30s in terms of seasons. I want to say 37, 38. But they're doing it by recycling the hosts instead of Richard Osman. They're bringing in new people on that, and it's making the show hipper and relevant, sort of like what has happened with Wheel of Fortune in the past couple of years, and I'm talking Pointless.
That's a good pick.
Okay.
That's a really good pick.
That's a good. Okay. So we have our last two awards before we get into the actual news. This one is
the best and worst new reality show host. We're going to start with the best.
Now, I had to go through a little bit thinking about this, okay? But this guy took a show that was a decent summer hit and made it better because of who he is and the snark of it. That was Jeffrey Dean Morgan of Destination X.
You know what? I think we're gonna. We might just have a sweep here because I agree with you. It was Destination X's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, new show, new host. Nothing. The bar is very low, and it surpassed all expectations.
Is that what Doug had too?
That's what Doug had too.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is really good. And which is impressive for the fact that he really doesn't have that sort of resume. He's only going to get better. I'm really eagerly looking forward to see what more stuff he can give us.
I would love to see a second season of it if they did that, by the way.
I would also love to see a second season. Maybe in a second suite of locales, too, because, you know.
Yes, exactly. Let's move it to like maybe Asia or South America, maybe. Or
yeah.
Something like that. Or maybe even do it in America, too.
There you go.
So, worst.
The worst.
What do you got?
The worst. Oh, God. He was a really bad host of a really bad show, and I watched one episode, and I was like, yeah, I'm done. Jim Jeffries of The Snake.
Add that to my list. Very good. Yep. What does Doug have?
Doug has Jimmy Fallon with On Brand with Jimmy Fallon.
I have him later, okay? I have him later, okay?
Well, I have him now. I actually agree with Doug. And the difference is I really think that he got – if The Snake is that sort of show, it's not a great show. It wants to be a Survivor clone, Me Too. It doesn't work well that way. But I think the show is the bigger problem there. And Jimmy Fallon is a great human being on that level, but he just did not convey the usual game show chops that he has on this, so I was very disappointed on him.
And you know what? He was being Jimmy Fallon in a place where he shouldn't have been, if you understand what I mean.
I do. On Brand is not that sort of game show.
No, because Jimmy Fallon is always that high energy type of guy, you know. He needed to tone it down a little bit and just didn't. You know.
Yeah, he needed something different on this one, yeah. I agree.
Okay.
All right, next one. Last category in the first round.
That is the best and worst new game show host. Lots of ideas to, draw from this past year. Okay, Doug had Michael Yo from Scrambled Up.
Not a bad choice.
Not a bad choice at all.
But I actually had his pair, his syndication pair. That would be Deborah Norville of The Perfect Line. She had this Meredith Vieira vibe to her that really gave the show, which really isn't that good, a bit of gravitas, which it sorely needs.
Yeah, I agree with Jay. I want to see Deborah Norville on a better show. She's really good. She's good news. She could be the phone book. She and Meredith Vieira are just cut from very close to the same cloth. I'm really going to be eager to see what she does next. Or if I don't think it'll get renewed, but if it gets renewed, let's see how better she can do on it. But yeah, I go with Deborah Norville as well.
I had the host of Quiztopia on the Portal 1 app, Marcus Bailey. And Jason,
you're
just,
right.
And Jason just broke my board.
I forgot about him. Yes. Magnus, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
Hold on. You know, you're absolutely right. Dystopia host. His name is
Marcus Bailey is his name.
Yeah, Marcus Bailey is his name. That's right. You know what? He is very good. But to me, Deborah's was better. Next one. And last one for the round.
It is the worst new game show host. Jay and I have the same guy, and it is Martin Short. Now, Match Game is not known for physical comedy. Martin Short is known for physical comedy. I think they enlarged the set just to accommodate for his physical comedy. But yeah, it just did not
work. No. Well, but it was not just that. It was all about him. Okay? He made the show about him and not the contestants or the celebrities. His ego let the room get too big for him.
There you go.
Doug has
Deborah Norville?
Really? Okay. Wow. Okay.
You know what?
I don't know what he's watching, but
diversity of opinion. That's what we love about this episode.
We do.
I'm actually surprised that you didn't go after some pop culture Jeopardy guy.
That was last year.
Oh, that was last year.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, it didn't matter to me because that was my answer. Anyway, the real answer is Martin Short. It was, and I don't think he was that bad, but the quality this year on game show hosts, new ones were really good, you know, in terms of that. And all the other names that I can come up with, which were people that were there, this is not their first time at the rodeo. So I got to go after the first guy with the first time at the rodeo, which is Martin Short. But to be fair, I'm sure that people liked him. So they're getting another crack at him.
I know. Look, I'm not saying that I'm not saying the show itself does not deserve another season. I'm just saying what I saw on the TV and what I saw of him made my stomach curl. It just did. That's all.
So you have a stronger stomach now because it was now curling for the whole year.
Yes, exactly.
I have like 5 or 10 pound weights.
Yeah, exactly. So that was Act 1, and we have a bunch more awards to do, but we do have some news to talk about.
Yep.
And Gordon, my God, since it's the new year, you saved up on postage because you sent me, like, a freaking folder. Because there's a lot as we start next week.
I actually sent you a zip file, so make sure that you unattach it and open it up first before going forward.
I will do that. And, of course, we will have all the news in 1 second. Chico? Take us there.
All the news you didn't even know you needed to know is on the other side of this break with Gordon Pepper and Jason Blockham, Chico Alexander, 6-5-1, your hope for We Love Twitter Ups 2025, best and worst of everything. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different exercises that Jason's stomach should be doing after he's done curling.
Crunches, definitely.
Like stomach lifts.
Huh? Stomach lifts, crunches, push-ups. Yes, I know. Yeah. I know.
Sit-ups.
Yep.
Planking. Yes. America's next top planker.
Indeed. We'll be back right after this. Take care.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation, end the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heel. The flavor, Seattle Slaw, or Seattle Slew. Because, to be quite honest, that game should have meant nothing. Because the Carolina Panthers lost two games to the New Orleans friggin' Saints. If they won both of those, they would have clinched the NFC South already. And it wouldn't have mattered anything about Seattle or Tampa in Tampa. But it matters now. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Ramsey Stoneright.
The funny thing is, if the Falcons win on Sunday, and it looks like they just might, then nothing matters if the Panthers go to the playoffs anyway.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the BS on Tuesday. My voice might have gone up a few octaves.
But what we need to do, you know, we don't need Doug for this one, but we do need Johnny Gilbert. Hit it, please.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
So we are in our final second chance week with the winner going to Champions Wild Card, which starts next week. Hint, hint, I might be going to a watch party.
But before we do that, we still have some unfinished business from last week, you see.
Well, that is correct. You are so right. Yes. I am so sorry.
Guy Branum had 16,000. Michelle Tsai, who I just learned, the niece of Ming Tsai, has 19,200. And Melanie Hurd.
Minside the chef?
Yes. And Melanie Hurd, an attorney.
The more you know.
An attorney from Silver Spring, has 12,000. Going into the final, Melanie has 10,600. Michelle has 14,600. Guy has 9,200. Still all of it to play for because, like last time, this time was pretty close too. Going into the final of the 21st century, the clue. In 2015, a foreign government said this would be abolished to increase labor supply and ease pressures from an aging population.
Oh, the esteemed Mr. Block and I had this one because it's an easy one. That is the one-child policy from China.
That is correct. Gordon, your thoughts?
Well, good way to control the population. What is Viagra?
This would be abolished. To ease pressures from an aging population?
Too easy!
Too easy. Everybody got it right. Melanie doubled to 10-1. She had 21-1 and then 33,001. I only bet 3,801 because he had 29,001. I don't know why he did that.
I don't know either. He totally dropped the ball on that.
Because honestly, if he would have bet it all, I think he might have won
him. Because he ended up with 29,001. Michelle ended up with 34,401, and The slot...
Well, hold on. So, but Guy had, what, 16,000 going in, right?
Yes.
And if he would... Oh, no, he would have lost by a dollar. Because she bet... Wow. She bet correct. Wow, did she bet correct. So Michelle Tsai is going to Champions Wildcard. Let's yep. see who will join them. On Monday's show, we had Mustafa Hamid, Abigail Arnold, and Keegan Arson. And this one was insane. Abigail crushed 25-6, Mustafa 12-5-8. Let's just play it out with European history. On January 20th, 1649, he asked, "What power am I called hither? It is not long since I was in the Isle of Wight." This was tough.
This was tough. I just went with Oliver Cromwell. I know it's wrong. Gordon, the correct response, please.
Who is Doctor Who? Because apparently he's got to be someone since the 1600s at this point.
No. Good idea, but no. it was actually Charles the First, because Ken said... it was Charles I being summoned for his trial. Why am I? Why are you calling me here? I should be imprisoned in the Isle of Wight. So Abigail moves on to the Thursday game.
Yes, and then we have on Tuesday, Emily Johnson, Dante DeMarco, and Ricky Shandak. And going into the final... a little closer than it was on Monday. Ricky has 12-4, Emily has 13-6, Dante has 17-2, and we have a Final Jeopardy category in animal names. Those returning from a 1920s expedition to Asia popularized this name for the Buaja Darat, or land crocodile.
I knew this. What is the Komodo dragon, you see?
Yes. Gordon.
Who is Chico's lawyer?
You leave my lawyer alone.
Well, you've told me that he was cold-blooded.
Indeed. Dondi bet to win, which was correct. He got it right. Emily got it right. Ricky, unfortunately, thought it was a caiman. But, Andy goes into the final. On yesterday's show, as we record this on New Year's Eve, we have Dan Puma, Jenna Hayes, and Ryan Sharp. At the end of, this was great. Close game. 12-4 for Ryan, 12 for Jenna, 15-8 for Dan. Clue, medical history. I hope you got this, Chico.
Yo, I had this down cold, man. I had this down cold. Here's the clue.
Bell.
Now associated with women in labor, it was first used by French doctors in 1901 to treat sciatica with cocaine. Okay, fun fact, Kiesla, who you heard earlier, is, you know, living with sciatica. She has to get these every so often so she can function.
Those are epidurals.
That is correct.
But I'm just thinking, Coca-Cola had cocaine, so did epidurals. Man, the early 20th century was interesting. Wow.
Gordon.
What was the Stork Express?
Stork Express. Dan got it wrong. He thought it was Tylenol. Ryan got 24,001 correctly. So they're in the final, which... Game one started today. Ryan, Abigail, and Dondi. Unfortunately, Dondi couldn't get going, so he had nothing going into final. Okay. Ryan was on fire. 33-104. Abigail had 15-6. Let's see what points they add in. It happened in the U.S.
Wrong button.
Wrong one. Rhenotite is the name of a glass-like material that came to be after an historic event in this state. Now, once I found out the right answer, I'm like, duh. But I said, what is Washington for the Mount St. Helens eruption?
I said the same thing. Turns out, it was not Washington. It was Jordan.
I'm going to say New Jersey.
It was New Mexico, as in where the bomb was dropped, the bomb testing. Trinity Project, the Trinity site in New Mexico.
Well, you have Three Mile Island in New Jersey. You know, the Meadowlands, not Three Mile Island. But yeah, we don't know what is coming out of that swamp.
What's coming out of the Meadowlands? That would be misery.
That's the toxic material you hear about there are the Giants and the Jets football team. Anyway.
Chico Q Zombies.
Yeah, indeed.
Apparently, we don't have any in either coaching staff right now
But Abigail and Ryan both got it right. So going into tomorrow's final, Ryan has 33-4, Abigail has 23-6, Dunde has nothing. But remember, Buzzy Cohen did it. He came back from zero to win the whole thing. Yeah. So we will find out tomorrow who goes into Champions Wild Card, which starts on Monday. And speaking of, but now we have some very sad news that we started to mention. We mentioned last week, and Big Brother 27 player contestant Mickey Lee, who had many cardiac events after some flu symptoms, passed away this week. You have it.
I do have it. Mickey Lee, who passed away at the age of 35. Her death was announced by her family on her Instagram page. With profound sadness, the family of Mickey Lee announces her transition on Christmas in the early evening. Mickey captured the hearts of audiences nationwide through her appearance on Big Brother, where her authenticity, strength, and spirit left a lasting impression of fans and fellow cast members alike. Mickey will be remembered for the joy she brought into the lives of so many and for the genuine connections she formed on and off screen.
Yeah, can we have a moment of silence, please? Thank you.
I have a statement here from Julie Chen Moonves, the host of Big Brother. She said, 2 months ago, I interviewed Mickey Lee on God 101. That's Julie's podcast. That's when she revealed to me that she was born with a hole in her heart. And as an adult, she survived an ATV accident that should have killed her, but God kept her alive. Last night, God brought her home. So, yeah. Rest in peace, dear Mickey. I will see you again on the other side in eternity. I pray the good Lord comforts and heals your family and loved ones as we grieve your passing.
Just absolute horrible, horrible news this week. Just terrible. No way to do this, but there is a huge date book which I have to go through. So, here we go.
Before we do that, we gotta do this. Gordon?
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you, as always, Doug Morris. Follow Doug Morris on all the socials at Doug Morris Games, Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and Tracks Productions. Do not forget, he is on the air every Sunday afternoon with Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Now, Jason.
Now, the date book has a little bit of controversy, which I'll explain in a minute.
Controversy.
Tomorrow is the season 18 premiere of both RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked on MTV. Sunday is the winter premiere of America's Funniest Home Videos and the Worst Cook of America reality check with Cardia Brown and Jeffrey Morrow?
I believe you are correct, yes.
But the big controversy is on Baking Championship Next Gen, with Duff Goldman and Cardia Brown replacing Valerie Bertinelli. Yes, and the fans are not happy, and they are attacking her personally. And Duff Goldman actually had to put out a huge statement on Facebook, basically say, calm the bleep down, pretty much. I mean, let me see if I can find the statement here, if you're...
Terminally online people gonna terminally online, man.
Pretty much. And it's one of the best shows on TV, you know? Oh, here it is. It was on December 30th, okay? Let me read the statement. It says, who is excited for the premiere of Baking Championship Next Gen? I know I am. I know Cardia Brown is. And I know that millions of kids out there are. And especially the incredibly talented and hilarious and kind kids we had the pleasure of baking with. I hope that you are excited. That being said, I'd like everyone to take a deep breath and think about your words. I know we all miss... at Wolfie's mom, that's Valerie Bertinelli, as my co-host. Valerie taught me so much about the craft of television and the shows we do with kids wouldn't be the same without her warmth and spirit, and to this day infuses every part of the show. But things happen. Things that you and I know nothing about. TV is a crazy business, and people have complex lives. Valerie was my co-host, and I will be forever grateful for the opportunity to learn from her, and I cherish our continued friendship. And my co-host is Cardia Brown, and she's wonderful. She's warm, kind, and empathetic, and the kids love her. She's a great baker and a positive mentor for the kids. Let's all remember to be kind. We are real people with real emotions, and having to read negative comments about yourself isn't fun for everyone. And if you feel the need to make negative comments, then maybe take a breath and ask yourself why putting someone down makes you feel better or vindicated or justified or whatever. Don't be lame. Don't be mean. If you're not going to watch, that's your choice. But you don't need to tell me or Cardia that. We don't care that you're not going to watch. We care about the kids that we get to bake with. We care about creating a show in an environment that encourages creativity and craft. Don't ruin that for us by being nasty because events beyond your understanding or control unfolded how they did. Stay positive, guys. I love Val. I love Cardia. And I love creating the most positive and creative show on Food Network. Thanks. Good job. Duff. Outstanding. Good.
You know what? I love Duff Goldman. I love his words there. I'm just, it's like, yo, if you feel the need to trash somebody on the internet, maybe look inside yourself and see what's wrong with you.
Indeed. Then we also have Daily Trivia Live premiering on Swagbucks, the season premiere of The Wall on NBC, and the season finale on Fox of Name That Tune. Tuesday is the season premiere of Wild Card Kitchen on Food. Wednesday is the season premiere of Beast Game Strong vs. Smart with our good friend Tim Sternberg as number 37. The season premiere of Hollywood Squares. The season premiere of Masked Singer. The season premiere of The Price is Right at Night. Yay. And the winter premiere of Shark Tank. And a week from today is Love is Blind Germany, My Korean Boyfriend, the season finale, and the season premiere of The Traitors season. I believe that is 4
season
on Peacock.
4 of The Traitors on Peacock.
And, of course, new episodes drop on for Culinary Class Wars on the...
on Tuesday.
6th. On the 6th, and the finale drops on the 13th.
Yeah, so. I'm going to be on vacation, so you two try not to mess the studio up.
Indeed.
Oh, don't worry, we will.
Let's go to the UK, shall we?
Let's go.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of 4.
Okay, so we all know Millionaire Hot Seat. Big in Australia. Well, they're bringing it to the UK, and Jeremy Clarkson is, of course, going to be the host. He says, when asked if he felt nervous before he started filming, he says, very, of course. I put my heart and soul into it all, but I was still nervous. So why does he still work? He says, you would rot if you didn't. I'm generally frightened because until March, I won't be filming a TV show for the first time in 40 years. That will be 3 months of So, yeah, Millionaire Hot Seat, I believe, will function the same as it did in Australia, where you have a group of contestants who try and traipse up the same money ladder, But as soon as they pass or get a question wrong, they're out and the next one up steps into the hot seat. Pretty good show. Can't wait to see what...
I've seen it. It's not bad. Let's see.
Can't wait to see what Jessa... Okay. Can't wait to see what Jessa does with it. But I also can't wait to see what Howie...
It's all right, dog.
I also can't wait to see what Howie does with The Price is Right. Because...
Yes. That's right. They've been promoting a lot of the videos, but we have a date, right?
Yes, we do. City TV in Canada, March, is when you're going to see The Price is Right tonight, hosted by Howie Mandel.
I think this is going to be big. I really do.
I think it's going to be huge. If I'm CBS, I think about how to maybe get it on Paramount Plus or something. If I'm CBS, if I'm smart,
yeah, I would love to see it on Paramount Plus. That'd be awesome. But
that would be a very smart idea.
Yeah,
but we don't have Haterade or Are You Smarter Than? We do have Gordon. We want to know who your media pro of 2025 is.
Well, we have a lot of choices to pick from for Media Hole of the Year, but I'm going to pick one that got there through their own merits, and that's Jag.
Jag Baines from The Amazing Race of Big Brother.
Mr. Baines, yes.
So,
I agree with that.
Though a Mr. Beast is in a firm second, and he could overturn him, overthrow him next year, which would be this year.
That's right, because East Games 2 looks to be bigger and better than ever, and I cannot wait for it to drop a week from yesterday. Gordon, if you would.
And those are your pros.
And that,
okay,
Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Button right here. Coming up. Second half of the best and worst of everything here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We will be right back with more awards.
WLTI is presented by America's Next Top Planker. Yes, you're going to see a whole lot of hard bodies, but they're not going to be doing much. They're just going to be doing some ab crunches, some preparation exercises for the big plank off, where one person, the last person planking, will win a hefty sum and maybe their own body pump class. That is the next America's Next Top Planker. We don't have any models, but we have a whole lot of six packs.
Oh, I could go for one right about now.
What a six pack?
Yes.
I'm not going to ask of what. Anyway. Welcome back. We are ready to round out the big awards on our best and worst of everything special here on the World's Strongest. And we will start with the best and worst reality show host. That is the best and worst reality show host. And we're going to start off with the best reality show host. And of course, it's a guy who is about to host a pretty big season, at least in my estimation. It's Jeff Probst.
It's a no-brainer. See, the thing is, Phil Kogan had a bad year this year. He really did. Okay? Dealing with all the production stuff. But to me, Jeff Probst continues to be the best storyteller, psychologist, judge, and friend you can have on a reality show.
Not to mention Survivor Firestarter.
Yeah, indeed. Gordon, do you agree?
I do. I'm going to go along with that as well.
All right. Okay. Doug had Phil Keegan.
He's the one. No, I'm just... No, Phil Keegan, again, he had a bit... He did not have a, you know, best of sort of year, but we'll see what happens. He's still great.
Yes,
and now
is.
To...
The worst reality show host, Doug has, and I'm reading this verbatim, Julie Chen, Moonves, Newton, John, Jacob, Jingleheimer, Schmidt.
Her name is my name, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, you know, she is who she is, but she's not. She's not who, and Gordon, you mentioned it earlier, Jimmy Fallon. He was just absolutely awful. Let me rephrase that. He was Jimmy Fallon in a place where he didn't need to be. If you understand.
Terrible.
What I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
That's terrible.
Do you agree with that or no?
I do. Wow.
I had somebody worse.
Oh, wow. Okay, who?
Yeah, Julie Chen's going to Julie Chen. I had Jim Jeffries of The Snake.
Oh, I forgot that was
he's
a reality
gonna,
show.
He's
yeah,
gonna
okay.
He's going to be the poor man's Jeff Probst.
Ah, gotcha. Never mind. I should have put it. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, but the thing was, Jim Jeffries was low-hanging fruit. Jimmy Fallon was a different level than me. Okay.
And Gordon.
Pineapple.
Pineapple. No, that's next week. No, no, that's Pusher Flush is next week. I'm sorry. I'm doing show prep as I'm doing the show. Anyway.
Next one.
It is best and worst game show host. We start with the best game show host, and Doug's are the same. A guy who came into his own and inherited a legacy and started building one of his own. That would be the guy who's never taken a day off in 30 years, Ryan Seacrest.
Ooh, really? Wow. Okay. Ryan, now I'm going for 2025. Put it this way. Ryan might be my next vote in 2026. But to me, there is no better game show host out there than one Ken Jennings of Jeopardy. He is so comfortable in his shoes right now. And the one thing that I like about it this year than more than other years, he's expressed his sense of humor in more ways than I've ever seen him in the first 4 years since Alex Trebek's passing. It's Ken Jennings to me.
I don't disagree with you, Jay, in terms of who those hosts should be, and more importantly, why those hosts should be like that. So, no, I agree.
With who?
Ken Jennings.
Okay. Next. The worst game show host.
The worst game show host. This is where we might have, like, again, the divergence of opinion we love on this show. Doug has Mikey Day of Is It Cake?
No, I love Mikey Day.
I love Mikey Day. I think he's adorable.
I may not like the show, but Mikey Day is all right.
Mikey Day.
Fine. I'll do this one better. This one's easy again. Martin Short made Match Game worse, not better. He was terrible.
Gordon?
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with Martin Short's performance. We had this discussion earlier. There's no reason why mine's going to change.
Okay, I'm just going to agree with both of y'all and say Martin Short because, well, I thought he was... I think he's an ill fit on the Match Game. I think
because, remember, you could put it to you this way. You could rip on Colin Jost next year because if he is hosting season 2.
Yeah. Now we go to the best and worst new reality show. That is the brand new reality show. It's never been premiered before 2025. And again, I think this is going to be one of those things that we going to have a split panel, and that's always a good thing. Gordon, you're first.
We're talking what? Best reality show host, period?
Best new reality show.
Best new reality show of this year.
Oh, this year?
Yes, this year.
Why don't I start and I give you mine? Okay. I start and give you mine. This was actually a version of a show that actually made the show better because it was actually more towards its target audience. Lego Masters Jr.
And I'm going to say it was a show that took something from YouTube and it expanded and enhanced. Two words we love around these parts, and that would be Netflix's Inside USA. Okay, Doug's pick for best new reality show, Destination X. Great game.
Of course. Yes, that's a good one, too. Of course, I should have picked that one, too. That actually is pretty good.
All right, Gordon.
I'm going to go off the board here a little bit, and I'm going to go with a new show, and it just recently debuted, and they just had the grand finale a couple weeks ago, called America's Real Deal. And the whole point of the show is different entrepreneurs coming in, but instead of trying to pitch the show to investors, which they do, and in addition to pitching them to different groups, they're also pitching to the audience. If you're in the audience and you have some money that you want to spend, you can actually donate $100, and that will go directly to the companies that are involved. It's a neat new premise. It's got a couple of twists and turns to it. It is very well done and needs to go a little bit more shine, in my opinion.
Okay. And that is on Tubi and Roku channel. So,
yes.
And you know who hosts that show?
Jordan Sparks.
That's right.
Good for her.
Next.
Oh, boy. Prepare. The worst new reality show.
Again, they tried to do an Apprentice, but did it all wrong. On brand with Jimmy Fallon.
I had the snake. Poor man, okay. Survivor.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Chico. I think Jimmy Fallon did not do a great job at On Brand. But the snake itself is just an awful show.
And
Doug had Super Mega Cakes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next
up, it is the best worst new game show. That is a brand new game show for 2025. And we'll start with the best. I had The Perfect Line. I like that it has, yes, it's the same game over and over, but at the same time, it's like, it's the same but different. If that makes any sense?
Not to me, but I respect it. mine was a great competition called 99 to Beat. Okay?
Okay.
That, what?
I said okay.
I'm just saying.
That's a good pick. In a
year where there weren't that many really standout good game shows, this was it. So
I think it's a good show, and I think Fox should revisit it.
Okay, what did Doug have?
Doug had Best Guest Live.
Okay. I would actually put Quiztopia if you want to do a quiz stuff. Okay.
That would be a good idea.
Gordon?
I'm going to agree. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of 99 to Beat, but there really wasn't much out there in prime time in terms of game shows that are new that were really good. So I will have to go along with that.
All right. Okay.
Next.
The worst new game show for 2025. Doug has The Perfect Line.
Okay. Right. What do you have?
I have Bingo Blitz.
Uh-huh. I have both of the GSN game shows, the AI BS that was those two, and Bingo Blitz was terrible, and you could tell that the potential for shenanigans was there on that show more than any show I've seen this year. Bingo Blitz was awful.
It was. Gordon?
Yeah, I gotta go with Bingo Blitz. I have to. I was thinking Beat the Bridge, but I think Beat the Bridge was started last year. I don't think it was this year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You are correct.
Yeah, so Beat the Bridge is not eligible. Therefore, it's got to be Bingo Blitz because yuck.
Indeed.
And it will get a very, very high seed in the Tournament of Badness.
Yeah, we got a couple of months for that. And now for the two big awards.
Yep, here we go. Starting with the best and worst reality show. The best reality show has been something that has been building up to a climax that is going to launch in 2026, much like the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been building up to every Avengers movie. It's Survivor.
Survivor it is for me because here's the interesting thing. Even if you have not great casting, the show is the show. And the show is the best on TV. Best produced, best shot, best acted, you know, best, not acted, best played. Just everything about it is great. It is Survivor.
I'm not going to go that way this year. Because I thought Big Brother was a much better show this year. With the exception of the White Locust, it was really good. And I'm going to put Drag Race in as a very close second.
Wow, interesting. Okay, all right.
I thought Survivor was okay. I thought there was a lot of flipping around, which made it fun. But Jay, one of the things that you said about the show, one of your biggest complaints this year about it was the fact that you really didn't get to see all the backstage stuff, and it felt like they were trying to edit the story, and you didn't get all the backstage shenanigans.
Right, exactly. You didn't get everybody being called out. You're right. You're true. You're correct. Oh yeah, you're right.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So, what did Doug have?
Doug had The Amazing Race. Now, The Amazing Race took a while to get to a point of where it was pretty good. So, you know, big ups to him for that pick. Okay, now, somebody gotta change the diaper again. The worst reality show. Doug has The Golden Bachelor.
You and I might have the same one. It's The Snake.
AJ. You and I do have the same one. It is The Snake.
I'm actually gonna agree with Doug. I'm gonna go Golden Bachelor.
Okay, why?
Petals have fallen off the rose, so to speak. The first season, yeah, it was really nice. It was cute. They showed something. The second one just felt really, really cloying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even though The Snake comes in a close second, but I already had that for worst new reality show, and I didn't want to completely. I wanted to pick somebody else.
All right. Okay. So, and finally.
And finally,
big one.
It's the big one. The best and worst game show of 2025. A game show that came into its own in 2025. A game show that defines the year. And for me, and maybe for...
You want to do worst first, or do you want to do...
Yeah, let's do worst first. So, hi, Lily. Later. Anyway, yeah, for all the... For everything mentioned, it looks fake, it looks cheap, it looks like it's it looks like Shenanigans could be afoot. And Valerie Bertinelli, God bless her, she tried. My pick is Bingo Blitz. And Doug could say the same for the next one. It looks cheap. It looks fake. There's some chicanery afoot. And God bless Brooke Burns, she tried. It is Tic-Tac-Toe 25.
Wow. For me, and by the way, all of them, both of them are absolute craptacularness, but nothing said absolute turd than Match Game, the new season of Martin Short's Match Game. It was absolute unwatchable drivel for me.
All right, and Mr. Pepper.
My worst game show of the year was another show on Fox, but it wasn't The Snake, it was Extracted. The premise was there, the execution was not, and the editing really was not. There is a show in there, they need to flesh it out and put it out there.
All right. And it did premiere in February of 2025, yes. They call it a reality competition, but it was a game show, so.
There you go. Okay, and now we go to the best one. Gordon, I'm going to go with you first.
I was going to joke and say, is it cake? No, I'm not saying that. For me, I get the Wheel of Fortune thing with $1 million. But for me, if there's any moments that touch pure game show magic, and there's been more than one this year on that show, it is Let's Make a Deal.
Okay.
Okay. And again, when I saw that tape measure thing, it was just absolute brilliance. Brilliance of how they fluctuate with that. However, for me, and again, a lot of shows had a lot of very good years. Wheel of Fortune had its best year in a long time with Ryan going, you know, his end of season one, beginning of season two, giving away $1 million.
Yes, you agreed.
I'm sorry?
He's agreeing with you.
Okay. You had Drew Carey continuing to, to quote-unquote, carry the prices right into, you know, continued relevance. You had Steve Harvey and Family Feud. But, again, for me, you had a show that had three different, you know, genres with Yogesh Raut winning Masters, W. Kamau Bell winning, Celebrity Jeopardy, and, you know, the Tournament of Champions continuing to just be, you know, and it is the best comfort game show on TV. It is Jeopardy by a mile for me. It's the best show of 2025.
My pick for best game show of 2025. It's a show that spans generations. It's a show that everybody can get into. It's a show that is one of the last meritocracies in a world where such things are becoming, sadly, passé. And if you think about it, it's the Great Equalizer. Because we are all slaves to the board. Jason and I know this more than most, but yeah, you could be the greatest quizzer in the world, but you don't know what's going to happen when that board lights up. It's Jeopardy, and it's not even close.
And what did Doug have?
Doug agrees with us. Well, doesn't agree with Gordon, but he agrees with you and me.
Here's the thing. We'll talk about it in our closing statements. Again, another great year for game shows. And that, of course, closes best and worst of everything. We will be just doing a little plugs and our final statements, actually, of 2025 right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt one more time. Best and worst of everything. We'll be right back. 2025.
Interrupt, 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 interrupt.
WLTI has been brought to you by Grizzled Bees. Woo! And we're a little bit more grizzled than usual. From surviving this year, you may need a big brother, or you may just be on the floor. However way that you are at this point, just remember that here at WLTI, we are here for you every week for 1 to 2 hours a week. If we can make your life that much easier and a little bit more fun, then we're doing our jobs. So again, Grizzlebees, you'll wish you had more fun, but definitely you'll wish you had less with us.
Indeed. I believe we have final statements of 2025. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go first. If
please
that's okay.
Do.
Okay. As we enter 2026, we are entering the second quarter of the 21st century. And we have been following game shows for basically all of that time. We have seen generational shifts in game shows, inclusions in game shows and reality shows of both color, gender, and sex. We have seen the evolution of different types of game shows, different types of game show contestants. And the game show and reality show format have survived writer strikes and pandemics, economic upturns and downturns, but you know what? We're still here. And the we, I mean, being game shows and reality shows. To all the producers who we all know, to the producers we don't know, to the contestants, the crew members, the art directors, the creators, the next generations of game show hosts we don't know about, to the person who's listening to us who thinks they have the great game show idea of 2035, bring it on. We will, in 2026, continue to cover this wonderful industry that I am so lucky to be a part of, both in the game show and reality show world. And, of course, on a personal level, I would like to thank everyone involved here at 5-in-1. That would include Carl Schneer and all the staff and crew, and especially to you, Gordon, and to you, Chico. Thank you very much for another wonderfully entertaining year, and let's do it again in 2026.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say a few things here. First of all, piggybacking on what Jay said, I want to thank a lot of people that you don't hear on this show, a lot of people that make us look, sound, and think superlatively. Talking about Carl Schneer, Chief High Muckety Muck of 5-in-1. Talking about Doug Morris, the voice of Brain Vision News. Talking about everybody that we talk to on a daily basis about things that go on in the game show world. Jason Hume, Stephen Boos, Josh Whittison, Jessica Brand, Bob Bowden. Just way too many people to mention, but a whole lot of names that you don't see. They are the unsung heroes of this podcast. One of the things that I've noticed in the last year or so, and Jay and I actually talked about this, and it actually gave birth to a new game that we premiered on WLTI just last month, is the generational shift. You're going to see, in the next 5 years, you're going to see new takes on old favorites. You're going to see new faces rise up and become the next great game show host. You're going to see new ideas spread worldwide in an attempt to become the next great thing in our chosen genre. But one thing that will never change is that at its heart, at the heart of every great game show, it's not the set, it's not the light, it's not the host, it's the player. Every great game show has great players. And as long as we remember all of that, the genre will continue to thrive and will continue to evolve for generations and generations after those. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Warm wishes for a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2026. And whatever you wish.
You forgot Gordon, you know.
I haven't even mentioned your ass. I'm not finished yet. God. Jason, calm yourself here.
Calm your tits. Yes, I know.
Jason, calm your tits. Yes. Okay.
All right. Okay.
But I just want to personally wish all of you out there a very happy, healthy, prosperous 2026. Whatever you wish for, I wish for you double. Gordon, wrap us up, please.
Hi. Well, first of all, thanks to Chico and Jay and Doug Morris and Jason Elliott. Everybody that is worked on this behind the scenes, in front of the camera, behind the camera, in front of the podcast, behind the camera, you are loved. And may your acknowledgments be realized in terms of the contributions that you have for WLTI. It's much appreciated. I'm going to go a little bit different this time because we're talking about changes in formats. I'm going to go changes in content distribution. This may be the beginning of the end for game show variety on networks as we know it. This could be the beginning of syndication. This could be Netflix. This could be Universal. We've already seen the beginning of YouTube and streaming and on potential opponents and competitors that are coming out there. The content is always the content. That will never change. Smart people creating it, that will never change. The distribution may look a lot different a year from now. In addition to that, the one thing, and I'm almost sorry to say this, but I'm going to, we have not seen politics creak into game shows as of yet. That may also change depending on what happens. And the political atmosphere right now, nothing is safe. No one is safe. We haven't hit that yet. We will. So, in some aspects, this is going to be an excellent year for game shows. In other aspects, buckle up. This could be a really bumpy ride. But hopefully, we will be here to make it smoother and to give you entertainment and to hopefully, again, give you your mind a piece for the 2 hours that we are here.
And, of course, the other shows here at 5 and 1, which we'll plug quickly right now, Chico. It is the week 18. This is it, man. A couple of spots are left, and seeding is going to be real interesting. And, of course, game 262, Steelers-Ravens Sunday night for the whole cojones right there. Okay? Chico, you got me on that?
I got you on that. We're going to be bookended. It's like week 18 is going to be bookended with a couple of thrillers. You have the one on the end. On the beginning, we have the fight for the NFC South, Panthers and Bucks. If the Panthers win, then they win the NFC South outright. If the Bucks win, the Panthers have to hope for a Falcons win on Sunday in order to claim the NFC South outright.
And they need to beat the team that the Panthers could not beat in 2 attempts.
And Saints do not have Chris Olave this week, so it just might have gotten easier for the Falcons.
And also, of course, on the NAWC, the Nikki and I will be going over the career of John Cena and the Nikki Awards, and we're going to, you know, talk about what happened over the last couple of weeks. And as we're going into 2026, the big Netflix anniversary show, the road to WrestleMania starts on Monday, believe it or not, because the Royal Rumble is going to be in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia in about 3 to 4 weeks, if you can believe that. So, yes, we'll be talking about that. So, Chico, if you would, please take us home.
Please.
The end of the year.
Hey, you're forgetting one thing.
Oh, it was a thing on TV. That's right. Go ahead.
You were so busy trying to finish up the show that you forgot about something. Yeah. It was a thing on TV.com. A new episode of Squared Circle Time Machine will drop momentarily. And we also have the 2025 Year in Review show up. So if you are a fan of the final episode of Stranger Things, the It's Always Sunny Abbott Elementary crossover, K-pop Demon Hunters, I know you love that, Gordon, or Mike Myers as Elon Musk, we've got you covered. But we're going to do a whole new year of new things, so be on the lookout for that. But in the meantime, it's back to business as usual here on The World's Strongest. Next week, more Jeopardy. We talk about The Price is Right at night. We talk about the Hollywood Squares. We talk about the Wall. And we talk about Beast Games. Oh, yeah, and Drag Race 2. We gotta talk about that. All of that is coming up next week right here on The World's Strongest. For Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Have a happy, healthy, and safe 2026. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night. Happy New Year!